all Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Venerable Master, Dharma Masters, and Dharma friends. My name is Thomas Fletcher, and tonight it's my turn to practice speaking Dharma.
诸佛菩萨, 师父上人, 各位法师, 各位佛友, 阿弥陀佛, 我的名字叫 Thomas Fletcher, 然后今天是我来练习讲法。
Tonight I wanted to talk about one of my favorite essays that I've ever read, The Exhortation to Resolve Upon Bodhi. So I'll just be giving my comments on it. I'll just read through a part of the text and just give my comments on it.
所以今天晚上我想谈一下我最喜欢的文章，就是《劝发菩提心文》，然后我就会读一段，然后把我自己的理解和感觉跟大家分享一下。Okay,
so you can put your palms together if you want. I, the unworthy Shirsien, a lowly, ordinary Sangan, weeping blood and bowing to the ground, exhort the great assembly and present-day men and women of pure faith, please listen and consider what I am about to say.
所以大家如果要喝掌的话可以喝掌，不孝余下凡夫生时闲，气血其嗓，哀告前大众及当世净信男女等，唯愿慈悲少加听察。
Obviously, what's immediately striking about this opening introduction is that is the Venerable Master Shirsien's humility. He doesn't come across as trying to oppress you or trying to scare you into listening to what he's going to say, but it feels like he's placing himself before you.
所以最让人感对这个开头感动的就是，行安大师他就是很谦虚的、很谦卑的跟大家说，他不是想把内容就推给你，他是很谦卑的来告诉你，在你面前再诉说。
And this humility, I feel, runs through the entire text. He's being extremely humble and trying to encourage us. He's not trying to scare us. He's not trying to oppress us into doing what he says. But he's being like a really good friend to you.
所以这种谦卑的态度在整篇文章都可以看出来，然后就是可以看出来，行安大师是很谦卑的。 然后他一直就在勉励我们要行善，然后他就是不是像要让我们害怕，或者就一直就像推我们，让我们必须这样子做。他就是像一个好朋友，就在告诫我们。
Okay, we'll continue with the text. We have heard that resolving the mind is foremost among the essential doors for entering the path, and that making vows is first among the crucial matters in cultivation. By making vows, we can save living beings. By resolving our minds, we can realize the Buddha's path. If we do not make our resolve great and our vows firm, we will remain on the turning wheel throughout as many kalpas as there are particles of dust. Any cultivation will be only bitter toil done in vain.
所以我们继续念经文，常闻入道要门，发心为首，修行即悟，立愿居先，愿力则众生可度，心发则佛道堪成，苟不发广大心，立坚固愿，则众经成劫，依然还在轮回，虽有修行，总是徒劳辛苦。
So why is the resolve to awaken, the Bodhi resolve, the resolve on Bodhi, why is it so important? I believe that it's because if you don't bring forth a great Bodhi mind, then no matter what kind of practices you practice, no matter for how long, you'll eventually just give up. For example, you may hold the precepts extremely purely, but if you don't have that commitment to go all the way, eventually you'll just be like, oh, holding these precepts is just too much trouble. I'm just going to stop holding them now. I'm going to go out and have some fun and create offenses.
所以为什么发菩提心是这么重要？因为如果你不发广大菩提心的话，那你所做一切的修行，不管是多长时间，你最究竟一定会是放弃的。譬如如果你就是很修持持戒，然后持得很清净，但是如果你没有这长远心要一直到佛道的话，那你有可能就半途而废，然后就有一天会想说这个持戒真是太难了，要不然我出去玩一下，然后你就出去，然后就造了很多业。
The key phrase I feel is any cultivation will be only bitter toil done in vain. So we might be here at the city of 10,000 Buddhas, cultivating, meditating, bearing pain in legs and full lotus, doing work for the monastery, going to all the ceremonies. But if we don't make the great resolve, it'll eventually be in vain. We'll be planting seeds, we'll be planting blessings.And cultivating wisdom, but if we don't make that commitment to go all the way, then eventually those blessings and wisdom will run out.
所以我觉得这一段最好的就是他说，虽有修行，总是徒劳辛苦。所以我们在圣城每天修行或者打坐，然后双盘时就会人腿痛。然后我们在道场这边就会平常会做很多功，然后会参加法会，但是虽然我们是已经把这些种子都种下了，然后我们也造了很多福，也修了很多会，但是如果我们没有发这个菩提心要一直到最后的话，那我们所做的一切总是会结束的，我们的福总是会消完的。
I'll continue with the text. As the Flower Adornment Sutra says, if you forget your resolve upon Bodhi, your cultivation of even wholesome practices becomes the karma of demons. From this it is clear that forgetting our resolve upon Bodhi is even worse than having never made the resolve.Thus we know that anyone wishing to study the vehicle of the Tathagatas must first make the vows of a Bodhisattva without delay.
所以我们继续念故华严经云，忘失菩提心，修诸善法，是名摩耶。忘失善耳，况未发乎？故知欲学如来乘，必先具发菩萨愿。不可还也。
The reason why I feel that forgetting your resolve, turning back on the path, is worse than having never made the resolve is because the resolve to become a Buddha is the source of all goodness in any human being. And if you willingly turn your back on the path that leads to that state,to that awakening, then you're turning your back on all that is good. So even if you cultivate giving, for instance, there'll be ulterior motives. You'll be giving for selfish reasons. You won't be doing it for the salvation of all living beings. Or if you cultivate precepts, after forgetting your resolve, you might be pure, but you might be very proud.Or you might be condescending to other people who don't hold the precepts as purely as you. The resolve upon Bodhi guides all the other practices in the right direction. So if you forget that resolve, if you turn your back on it, then all those practices are not with a pure intention.
所以，我的对，那个原因，如果你像妄思菩提心，还不如就是你就是背着菩提心去修行，这个还是更不好的。因为比如如果你修行了这个布施的话，然后你所做的虽然是好的事情，但是有可能是有很自私的原因，有可能是为了自己而做的布施，然后这就不是为了救度一切众生而布施。然后如果你也是修持戒，你有可能会觉得自己很傲慢，或者对没有像你这么样亲近的持戒的人会轻视他们。所以这个菩提心是引导所有一切的修行的一个东西。然后如果你这个菩提心背了的话，你就是本来的这个就是菩提心就背了，所以所有一切的修行就不是很有清净的一个心去做。
So he mentions that we should make the vows of a bodhisattva, and I can't remember what the commentary says, but it's probably referring to the four great vows of a bodhisattva. That living beings are limitless, I vow to save them all. Afflictions are endless, I vow to cut them off. Dharma doors are limitless, I vow to learn them all. The Buddha way is unsurpassed, I vow to realize it.
所以这就是说我们行安大师在这边说我们要发这些菩萨的愿，然后我当然忘记了是怎么上人怎么解释，但是我觉得他应该是说那个菩萨的四个大愿，就是众生无边誓愿度，烦恼无尽誓愿断，法门无量誓愿学，佛道无上誓愿成。
Continue with the text. But resolves and vows are various, and they have many aspects. If they are not pointed out, how can we know what direction to take? I will now explain them in general for the great assembly. There are eight aspects of a resolve: deviant, proper, true, false, great, small, partial, and complete. What is meant by deviant, proper, true, false, great, small, partial, and complete?
所以我们继续念。然心愿差别，其相乃多。若不指陈，如何趋向？今为大众略而言之，相有其八，所谓邪正、真伪、大小、偏圆是也。云何名为邪正真伪大小偏圆也？
So what I really like about this essay is it's basically broken down into two main sections. He's giving you the how, and then he's giving you the why. The how are the eight aspects, which come in pairs, the deviant and proper, the true and false, the great and small, the partial and complete. He's giving us a how not to, and then a how to. And then in the next section, he gives us 10 incredible reasons why we want to do this. Why exactly do we want to resolve upon Bodhi?
所以我喜欢这篇文章的原因，就是因为它被分裂成两个主要的部分。然后第一个部分就是讲是怎么来发菩提心，然后第二个部分就是为什么要发菩提心。所以第一个就是这个八种的八种的各种的方向，所以它就是正面和反面，然后这些就是邪正、真伪、大小、偏圆。然后下一个部分就是讲行安大师就讲十个原因为什么要发菩提心，然后有什么益处。
So let's look into these eight aspects. A cultivator's resolve is deviant if in his practice he does not investigate his own mind, but knows only about external matters. Perhaps he seeks benefit in offerings, likes fame and a good reputation, is greedy for objects of pleasure in the present, or he may hope for reward in the future. A resolve such as this is deviant. When a cultivator seeks neither gain nor fame, and has no greed either for pleasure or for rewards, but wishes only to settle the matter of birth and death and to attain Bodhi, then his resolve is proper.
所以我们现在继续念。是有行人一向修行，不救自心，但知外物，或求利养，或好名闻，或贪现世欲乐，或望未来果报，如是发心，明知为邪，既不求利养名闻，又不贪欲乐果报，为生死，为菩提，如是发心，明知为正。
A thought just occurred to me as I was reading this. How many of you think that attaining Buddhahood would be a really big gain? I think becoming a Buddha is actually taking a huge loss, because the Buddha completely gives up any idea of self-benefit. He completely forsakes himself for the sake of others. So even being greedy for Buddhahood is hoping for a reward. But in fact, I think it's not my state, but I feel that a Buddha doesn't gain anything. He's actually completely giving himself away.
所以我读到这边时，我就想，就是多少个人会觉得成佛时是像一个很伟大的一个成就。所以其实成佛，其实我觉得就是一个很大的一个失去了很多，因为这个成佛之后，他不是为了自利，反而是把自利给去掉，然后就是为了利益他人。所以如果我们是为了贪求这个成佛这个道，那我们这个就是好像要求一个果报似的。但是这个佛他不是要我们他不是要自己去利益自己，反而他是想要去利益别人。
The great master Shi Xian has an incredible understanding of human psychology. So in the how not to's, the deviant, the false, the small, and the partial, he's giving us a mirror to reflect upon ourselves. As I read through this part of the essay, whenever he's talking about the negative aspects of a resolve, I feel he points out every single one of my faults. He does this extremely well.
所以我也觉得行安大师有很好的心理人的心理学的一种研究，因为像他讲这个发菩提心的反面时，如邪、伪、小和偏，他来讲这些四个反面的菩提心的反面时，他就好像在给我们一面镜子，然后让我们看看自己，然后看我们自己有什么缺点。所以当我读到这四篇时，我就觉得行安大师好像正在指出我所有的一些缺点，所以我觉得这很伟大。
Throughout the day, how much of my time am I worrying about external matters, superficial external matters? When we go to the dining hall and we're walking by chanting the name of Shakyamuni Buddha, do I lose all my samadhi as I smell the good food? Food is an object of pleasure, and I find that it's an extremely hard one to give up. Whenever I get to the dining hall, especially when I am practicing eating one meal a day, not always, but sometimes, and I'm really hungry, I can forget everything and just go into the food samadhi and care about nothing else.
所以当我每天这么过时，我有很有可能会执着在一些很希望的外界的一些事情，比如当我们进入斋堂时，然后我们在念释迦牟尼佛的名号，你会不会丢失了一些定力？当你闻到了很香的这些食物时，你会不会因为这些食物都是一些让你觉得贪求的东西，然后你会觉得很难去来舍掉，然后特别是当像我有时候会练习一天吃一餐，然后当我晚上或者就会很饿，然后那时候我就进入像吃饭的三昧，然后就一直想这些食物，然后他们有多么可口。
But a mistake you can make when reading this essay, which you shouldn't, is that you take these things and you beat yourself up about them because you have these faults. He's actually just pointing out things that you need to work on. So because of this essay, I'm actually much more aware of the fact when I go to the dining hall that my mind is turned by good food.And then I actually try and find ways to counteract that bad habit. Because the second part of this pair is the positive side, which I find really inspiring. You know, all the stories we've heard about the patriarchs, Great Master Xu Yin, the Venerable Master, they didn't seek any gain or fame.They didn't have any greed for pleasure or for rewards. Their sole concern was cultivation. And so the second part of the pair, the positive aspects of a resolve, I find are encouraging, inspiring, because you read them and you say, well, I could be like that. I could put it down. If I really set my mind on it, I could stop caring so much about food and not be turned so much by tasty things and just focus on my cultivation.
所以我们有可能会犯下的错误，就是当我们读这篇文章时，我们就会读到看到了我们的缺点，然后我们就会特别的自责，但是这不是显然大师的目的，其实他只是想指出我们需要改进的一些地方，然后我就会当我读到的时候，我就会想起办法来克服我自己的坏习惯，然后当我读到了第二段时，就是比较正面的一些事情时，我就会觉得很受启发，像我就会想起像虚云老和尚或者上人，他们都不是追求名利，也不是追求娱乐或者就是自身的享受，但其实他们就是唯一的就是来修行，然后我就当我想起他们这些正面时，然后我就会自己觉得很受启发，因为我觉得自己我也有可能可以这样子，我也可以不要那么执着在吃美味可口的食物，然后我就可以专心的去修行。
I don't know too much about Chinese culture, and I won't pretend that I do, but I've heard that losing face is something very serious in Chinese culture. If you lose face, then it's very problematic to your social life. We do have some of that in Western culture, although I don't feel it's as grave. Because this essay is written very much in a Chinese cultural tone. There's many evidence of it later in the essay as well. But losing face, I think it's pretty universal, whether differentiating in severity from culture to culture. But what's motivating us to be nice or kind to someone? Is it because we're afraid that if we're not, that we might get in trouble or lose face? Or is it coming from someplace genuine? This is something I reflect on a lot, especially in the past few weeks. What's motivating me to be good to people?
所以我不是很懂这些中国文化，但是我有听说，中国人说失面子是很严重的一个事情。然后如果你失去面子之后，那你的平常的这些生活就会有很多的问题。然后在西方的这些文化里，有一些方面也是关于失面子，但是它没有这么严重。然后我就看出中国文化就把失面子看得很严重，所以我觉得失面子是全世界都有这一种观念，只是在不同的文化里它占的地位不是的高低而已。然后所以我的常常就会觉得，当我们对别人好的时候，这是因为我们不想要失面子或者造成问题，还是因为我们在内心里有什么真正的这些东西在让我们要去对别人好，然后对别人就是关心他们。所以在这几个星期里，我就想说，是什么东西激励我要对别人好呢？
Westerners actually tend to be, we tend to be very rebellious against authority. And I think it's not because we want to do the wrong things, but we want to do the right things for the right reasons. In Western culture, a lot of the times we're oppressed or scared into doing the right thing. Growing up, we fear getting in trouble by a teacher if we don't behave ourselves. Or, religion, a lot of fundamentalism tries to scare people into doing the right thing, because if you don't, you're going to hell. And the reason why we become so rebellious is because even if you do the right thing, or if you behave yourself, if you're not doing it for the right reasons, then it's not really doing the right thing. So I think our rebelliousness is looking for truly good reasons why we want to walk a right path. And I think that's one of the important points of Buddhism coming to the West is because it offers that answer.
所以西方人他们有时候会想就是反抗那些有权位的人，这不是因为他们想要做坏事，只是他们想要做好事，然后他们想要正当的理由。因为在西方这边很多人都会使用欺迫压迫，或者会让这西方人感到害怕，让他们必须来做这些事情，然后就如果你不做的话，那你就会受惩罚。然后就像在学校里那个老师也就会就是如果你不听话的话，那你就会遭到麻烦。然后如果像你在宗教里，如果你不做好事的话，那你以后就下地狱。所以西方人的这种喜欢反抗叛逆的这种行为，不一定是说明他们不会管理自己，只是说明他们 不知道他们在做这些正当的事情是不是为了正当的理由，所以我觉得如果他们能够懂得去做这些，知道这些正当的理由，那他们就可以走好的路。所以佛教传到西方来的时候，就是提出这些正当的理由来做这些事情，所以西方人能更好的去接受。
Okay, I think time's up. Maybe next time I will just pick up where I left off and continue.
所以现在时间到了，所以下一次我再继续讲这一篇文章。阿弥陀佛。